Wasn't that fantastic? You know, there's a lot of banquets going on and Christmas dinners and all those kind of things around us. But, you know, I believe we just had a feast. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making it up. You know, I've been pretty excited all week because of a lot of activity going on and different things. And I think of what we just had. And as Harold said in the beginning, you know, it's not going to be a, he used different words than I would use, but it wasn't boring. It wasn't a tiresome time. It wasn't a time that, you know, that just went on and on. It was awesome. I've been doing this for probably 55 years and I've never got tired of it yet. And I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope, as he mentioned in the beginning, that it was God honoring, and I think it was. And we're going to be talking about that this morning. Okay, here we are. If I could have joint host, I'll go share screen. Okay. Takes a few minutes, this technology. There we go. Share screen. If Roy would let me share the screen.
You can get on Zoom.
Yes, I am on Zoom. Okay. Sorry. We had it going earlier. I am on Zoom. Your screen, host disabled for screen share, okay.
What's the
recording? I'm on Zoom, I can see all my beautiful out there. Hi everybody in Zoom land. Technology, no? Well, you can be sitting there praying for those people that would love to be here, but are on Zoom as we get this this going. Share screen. It says host disabled participant screen sharing. If you don't want me to preach, I won't.
I cannot see you on Zoom.
Pardon?
I cannot see you on Zoom.
Okay. We'll go back and we'll go.
What's your Zoom name? Screen name.
I see myself on Zoom.
Able to share screen now.
Okay, 1 minute. Allow. Do you allow? Launch meeting. Allow. Anyway, the Lord has been speaking to me this last couple of weeks, and what I have been doing is studying the Lord's Prayer. And what I would like to do with us today is to look at two parts of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at one presently and one in the second meeting. Would you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And we're going to read over the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to be talking on the first section of it. It says, and when you pray, you must not be in like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not use empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. A very well known. Here we have six petitions. We have three and three. And if you look in the Lord's Prayer there, the first three are our condition with God. It talks about his name, hallowed be your name. And then it goes on, talks about his kingdom. And then it goes on and talks about his will. Because there's six petitions here in the Lord's Prayer. That's the first three. The second three is to do with our needs. Talks about bread, referring to our physical and spiritual need. Forgiveness of sin. And the third, the final deliverance from the evil one. So what we're going to be talking about first of all is our Father. Our Father which art in heaven. And that's what we were just doing. We were here for the last hour thanking God, praising God for what he gave to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the beginning of the most famous prayer in history, often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. And according to Matthew, Jesus of Nazareth taught his disciples this prayer. And if you are a child of God, and we who took the bread and the cup are children of God, then we can say, Our Father. And all through the last 2,000 years, people have been praying this. The first place it's mentioned is here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. And it's also located, when you get home, check it out in Luke. Luke chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. Our Father. Yes. Now, if you take different translations, I always believe the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. And I enjoy different translations. I use a lot the New King James Version, of course, but I do use others also. And if I don't really understand it, I can't captivate it, what I do is go to my French one. It's a little clearer. And if that's not clear enough, I go to my Spanish one. But for instance, the NIV says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The New Living Translation says, pray this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. See, there's a little difference thing there, but you look at the original Greek, which I did looking in this, and we say parasido. It's paralyzed. It's together. The ESV says, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The King James Version, after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And the NASB, pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Very close. Very close. They're all excellent because they're from the original language, just a different translation. Now you're going to say, well, it's Our Father. That means collectively, Our Father. You're going to say, well, this is a collective thing. But no, not just that. It's a personal thing because later on in the verses talk, your Father who is in secret, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So this prayer is for us collectively as children of God, but it's also individually, because it's our Father, it's your Father, my Father. Now, I didn't have a father. I had two fathers and four mothers, and I was in an orphanage and all those sad things. But you know, when I was 10 years old, I accepted Jesus. Wow, I got a heavenly Father that's so faithful. I don't think any earthly father, even though I know you've got some beautiful, wonderful fathers in this world, but not as faithful as God is. God has been faithful. He's never leave me all of these years, 67 years, he's been with me. So I pray to my Father, our Father. The Lord's Prayer. They also refer to this as a disciples' prayer, and it's one of the most known passages in the world. Because if you take Psalm 23, Romans 3, 16, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer, those are about the four most knowledgeable passages in Scripture. But in spite of it being so well known and so often repeated, do we really know what the meaning or why we say that God's name should be holy? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So God is in heaven, but you know, he loved you and he loved me so much that he gave us his Son. He came down in the person of his Son. So yes, our Father in heaven, but he's in us. He has given us also the Holy Spirit. And we have to keep his name holy. It's so important that we realize that it's the disciples' prayer. It's the Lord's prayer. It's your prayer. You know, Sunday mornings when I sit down there and I'm worshiping the Lord, I just wish I knew more languages. Or I wish I knew how to say it better, because, you know, we say to our wives, I certainly say to mine anyway, after 56 years, I say, I love you. But people today say, well, I love my dog. I love my hamburger that I buy at McDonald's. And so when I say, I love you, Jesus, or je t'aime, or te amo, it seems so common. But you know, this is why we have this prayer. It helps me to focus in and to tell God, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And that's what I want to do. I want to live in such a way that people look at me and not say, oh, Ron, you're wonderful. You're a great guy. No, I want them to look at me and say, there's something different about that turkey. Oh, Thanksgiving's already gone. No. But anyway, I want them to look at me and say, wow, there's something different. And I want to be able to tell them that my Father in heaven is the one that makes a difference in my life. So here we have the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer, whatever one. Now, a great writer wrote, Christ taught us to pray, our Father, this eternal, everlasting God has become our Father. And the moment we realize that, everything tends to change. Can you imagine that God, the universe, loves you sitting right there? And we are sometimes not lovingable. Is that a word? Anyway, you know what I mean. Sometimes we're just not right. We're not in the right state of mind. We're not doing the right thing. We're not going to the right place. But God loves you anyway. We have an expression in Spanish, a pesar de, in spite of the way we live sometimes. God loves you, and he'll never leave us alone. Our Father, your Father who is secret. Now, the word Father is very interesting. And if you look up the whole meaning of it and everything, you'll find out that it's a Greek word. I'm not going to dazzle you with my vast knowledge of Greek, because that would be a lie. But it's P-A-T-E-R, Father, P-A-T-E-R. And that comes really from an Aramaic word meaning Abba, Abba. And you know, when you look at the word Abba, and this I have to be careful with because I don't want to sound irreligious, not that, no, irreverent. I'm taking it Spanish, French, anyway. It's daddy. That's the best translation according to a lot of trustworthy commentaries. It's our Father, but it's more cariñoso, we say. It's more lovingly. It's more cherishable. Can we imagine saying to God, our Father, Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy? See, I didn't have that. As I said, I'm not dwelling on that, but I didn't have a dad that would take my hand and walk me down the street. Sure, I was adopted and all that kind of stuff, but it was not the same. And he had three wives, so I mean, what can I say? But I had a heavenly Father, and I get excited about him. And people say, well, Ron, calm down. See, my wife doesn't come when I'm preaching because she's scared I'm going to get a heart attack. 2.5 years ago, they took my heart out and fixed it, and they put it back in. So she gets kind of scared about that. But I do get excited because God is my daddy. He is my Father. He's my Abba. And my responsibility is to keep his name holy. Holy. I don't criticize people that come to church in shorts and t-shirts and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to go there. We're not going to go there, please. But why am I looking the way I'm looking now? Because I'm in front of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if I went and saw, I was going to say Queen Elizabeth, but she's gone. If I gone to see the king, I would dress up. And you look on television, all these businessmen and all that, because I want to look the part. Even though I'm not always the part. You understand what I mean? You know, sometimes you come to church and you look so holy. But my goal in life is to glorify my Father, which is in heaven. God, the perfect Father. You know, Father's Day, I always put something on my Facebook page. It's one thing is, of course, it's my Father's Day. But every day to me is Father's Day. Every day he's with me. Every day he looks after me. The lessons to be learned from the Lord's Prayer is to make us aware of how great our Father in heaven is. In fact, it is how the prayer begins, praising and glorifying God. That's why I come Sunday morning. And that's why you people out there in Zoom land are watching and praying and taking the Lord's Supper together. You're there glorifying God. And it's so important. It's so important to remember, you know, in the Jewish temples containing, there's an ark. There's a special piece of furniture. And it says on that, know before whom you stand. Know before whom you stand. That's what it says in the Jewish temples, in front of the ark, they have that word there. We're in the presence of the Lord of Lords, and the following words are there. And we have to realize that we're on holy ground. I'm not going to take my shoes off, but I should, maybe like Moses, who was on holy ground. I remember one time I was in Africa in front of 10,000 people. You're going to say, you're exaggerating. I'm not. You couldn't see the end of it. There was speakers, all the huge field. And I was dressed up in my African outfit, and I actually took my feet off because we were having the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine? Thousands of people, baffles, speakers all along. You know why? Because I feel that I was on holy ground, and I believe I'm on holy ground right now. Psalm 115:1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. Why let the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven, and he does as he wishes. Their idols are merely things of silver and gold shaped by human hands. Yes, our God. That's a Psalm 115, verse 1. There's many verses. How about Isaiah 61:1 or 66:1? This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Can you build me a temple as good as that? I like that. Can you? We can't beat that. God made that. Could you build me a such a resting place. My hands have made both the heavens and earth. They and everything in them are mine. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will bless those who have humble and contrite heart, who tremble at my word. Our God is great, and we are to keep his name holy. Holy be your name. This is a statement that's hard to understand sometimes, especially today when there's nothing holy, there's nothing sacred today. We live in a society that's it's completely different. Let's put it that way. But we as Christians, as born-again Christians, taking the bread and the wine, we've got to remember that we are to hallow be thy name, your name, the name of our blessed Lord God. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's why I shovel people's sidewalks. That's why I help the person down the street with having trouble with his car. Because I want people to glorify my Father. You don't hope you don't want. I don't want any glory. I'm looking for the day when we're all together, all of us who know and love the Lord, and we're going to take that crown off and we're going to throw it. Well, let's place it. We're going to place it at his feet. Oh, that's going to be a great day that we can. You know, Jesus had no agenda of his own. And we are Christians. We are followers of Christ. And we should have not any agenda of our own. Jesus says, not my will, but thy will be done. And that should be our prayer. Not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus does not do anything that is outside of the will of the Father. The reason Jesus came here on earth was to do the Father's will, and the Father's will that he would die for you and me. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus would have let it go past, but he says, not my will, but your will. This is so important. John 6:37, however, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last days. What a hope we have. What an esperanza. What an espoir we have. We're in the Lord's hands, and nobody can pluck us out of it. Nobody can take us out of it. We can't lose our salvation. We can maybe lose our joy. I know a lot of Christians aren't living the way they should. I can't judge them, but I see them putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not walking in his way, and they're miserable. And I praise God that he's always there, looking after them, taking care of them. Philippians 2:5 says, Paul sets Jesus before us as the example of the type of attitude we should have. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, or as the NIV says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. And if Jesus came to do the Father's will, how much more should we do the Father's will? Again, Philippians gives us the same advice. It says, who, being the very nature God, did not consider equal with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, and made himself nada, nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God. Glory to God. I mean, these are exciting things. Jesus says, not my will, but yours be done. Do we say that? Lord, should I go there? It's not my will if I should go there or shouldn't go there. But what is your will, Father? I'm going to buy this. Should I buy it or shouldn't I buy it? What is your will? And we can find that in the Word of God. It helps us. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes I'm reading the Bible and whoo, wow, it hits me right between the eyes. And exactly what I needed at that particular moment. And people say, well, that never happens to me. But how much time do we spend in the Word of God? Jesus faced his tribulation over the upcoming suffering he would have to endure on the cross. He knew what he was going to do. He knew the Father wanted him to go to the cross. But he said, not my will, but your will. And he was willing to go to the cross. And that's why I enjoy the Lord's Supper. It's a time that I can try to blot out everything in my mind. I can blot out all the things in my life and just focus on who he is. Yes, we are called, dear brothers and sisters, to glorify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what God wants you and me to do. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord's Prayer. We thank you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you for that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have this model, we have this example of how to pray. And Heavenly Father, when we find it hard to pray, and we don't have the right words, we're in a terrible situation, we thank you we can come back to this prayer and just pray it. Not just pray it for praying's sake, but to really mean it, Lord. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this wonderful banquet we just had, this wonderful time around the table. And we, as we was mentioned in the beginning, Father, we trust it was pleasing to you. We want to do your will, Father. That's why we're here. That's why those people on Zoom land are watching, because you have said for us to do this in remembrance of me. So thank you again, Heavenly Father, and help us in the next meeting. In relationship to the Lord's Prayer, and we'll give you all the praise and glory in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.